Great. Okay. Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday, August 25th, 8 a.m. I guess I will be leading this board of directors meeting today. So item number one, Pledge of Allegiance. Ruben, can you cue that up?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to item two, roll call of board of directors. And Vanessa?
Yes. Director Fellow?
Here.
Director Trevino?
Here.
Director Garcia?
Here.
Vice President Santana?
Here.
President Chavez?
Okay, let the record show that all four members with the exception of President Chavez are present. Moving on to adoption of agenda. Do we have a motion?
Motion for Trevino.
Okay, we'll do motion for Trevino, second Director Fellow. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Is this, that's all we need or do we need to vote on this? This is a voting item, right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right, so we'll go ahead and call the vote. Vanessa?
Director Fellow?
Yes.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye. Excellent. Okay, so that passes 4-0. Moving on to public comments. Is there any public comment today?
Good morning, Vice President Santana. We have received no public comment, and I don't see any hands raised at this time.
Okay. Well, in that case, it sounds good. We will move on to item five. So we have a presentation today on the 2021 Water is Life Art Contest winners. And who will be leading this presentation?
Well, Patty will, and she's just connected to audio. Go ahead, Patty.
Okay, good morning, directors. Apologies for the delay. My internet's a little slow. But this morning, we have the presentation of the Water is Life Art Contest. As you know, we conducted our art contest this year in a different format, having our students submit their entries virtually. So the water, just a little bit of background, the Water is Life Art Contest helps raise awareness and educate our students about the importance of preserving our most precious natural resource. Our entries are divided into four categories, K through second grade, third through fifth grade, sixth through eighth grade, and ninth through 12th grades. Again, although our contest was held virtually this year, we received excellent participation from students throughout our service area. We were overwhelmed by this year's creativity, as always, and of course, the talent that we have in our district. This year, we had 12 schools participate and 117 art entries were received. Certificates and award checks will be mailed to the winning students following this board meeting, and a special package of congratulatory items will be delivered to the teachers and students for those that obviously couldn't participate since we were unable to conduct this recognition in person. Our winning art entries have been entered into Metropolitan's Water is Life contest. Winners for Metropolitan's contest are usually announced in late autumn, and we will notify the board members of those entries that have been selected, and also look forward to celebrating those that do get selected. So if we can start the presentation, I'm going to quickly run through those winners that we have selected. So for the first category of K through second grade, Our fifth place winner is Connor Lee, and he is from LA Art Academy, a resident of the city of San Gabriel, and he will receive a $25 prize. Our fourth win. Our fourth place winner is Patrick Wong, a first grader from LA Art Academy and a resident of the city of San Gabriel. Our third place winner is Ngedi Lam, a second grader from LA Art Academy and a resident of the city of Temple City. Our second place winner is Tiffany Wang. She is from Longden Elementary School in the city of Temple City. And our first place winner is Thalia Lowe. She's in the first grade, and she is from also from the LA Art Academy, but a resident of the city of Arcadia. And our second category is third through fifth grade. So our fifth place winner is Fiona Chow, and she is also from the LA Art Academy and a resident of the city of Arcadia. Our fourth place winner is Wen Yang Yolanda Zhao. She is a third grader from LA Art Academy and a resident of the city of Arcadia. Our third place winner is Xinran Yang, a fourth grader from McKinley Elementary School in the city of Duarte. Our second place winner is Diana Wang. She's a third grader from LA Art Academy and a resident of the city of Arcadia. And our first place winner for this category is Chloe Tam. She is from LA Art Academy and a resident of the city of Monrovia. So for our third category, our sixth through eighth grade winners, we'll start off with fifth place. We have Eva Limon. She's an eighth grader from Santa Fe Elementary School from the city of Baldwin Park. And the fourth place winner is Darren Ng. He's a sixth grader from LA Art Academy and a resident of Temple City. Third place winner is Julia Yu. She is in the seventh grade from LA Art Academy and from Temple City. Our second place winner is Gabriela Enriquez. She's a seventh grader from St. Luke Catholic School in the city of Temple City. And our first place winner is Justin Chen, a seventh grader from LA Art Academy and a resident of Temple City. And we'll move on to our final category, which is the 9th through 12th graders. For our fifth place winner, we have Carolyn Wu. She is a ninth grader from LA Art Academy from the city of San Gabriel. And then our fourth place winner is Selena Yu, a 10th grader from Temple City High School. And our third place winner is Annie Shi, also a 10th grader from Temple City High School and a resident of Arcadia. Our second place winner is Allison Lee from Temple City High School, and she is a resident of San Gabriel. And our first place winner is Iris Zhu. She's a 10th grader from LA Art Academy and a resident of the city of Arcadia. So I want to congratulate all the winners. As I said, I'm sure as you saw some of them, they're beautiful art entries, and we look forward to seeing how they place in Metropolitan's competition. And that's the conclusion. If you have any questions.
Wonderful. Those were gorgeous. Do any directors have any comments or questions for Patty?
No, I'm just happy. My district has some great artists, and I thought they were all very good.
Yeah. It's a lot of talent in the area, and it's really wonderful to see that directed towards this project of understanding water, and looking forward to seeing how they place in the MWD as well.
Thank you.
Excellent. All right. Okay, moving on to item six, committee reports. Looks like we have none at this time. I think we do have some committees coming up next week, if I'm not mistaken. They start in the early in the month. Moving on to consent calendar. Okay, inside your packet, we have the minutes of the regular board meeting or the board of directors. So does this require a vote? The consent
calendar? Approval, Trevino.
Okay, move approval, Trevino. Do we have a second? Second for the consent calendar?
I will second it.
Okay. We'll go with fellow. I heard fellow. So moving on. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and do a vote on this then. Vanessa?
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye. Great. Okay, so that passes 4-0. Moving on to action discussion items. All right. Very excited about this one. Here we have the Los Angeles County Sanitation District's recycled water treatment updates.
Yeah, and so I'll introduce this. And this was brought to my attention by Director Santana, who had seen a presentation by the County Sanitation District staff. But I think it ties nicely into our discussions about, number one, Upper District's own recycled water system, which receives treated wastewater from the Sanitation District, both the San Jose Creek and Whittier Narrows plant. But also ties in with John Bernowski's presentation from last month, where he talked about the Carson Recycled Water Project. And so what John talked about is the treatment process following the wastewater treatment process that Basil and Erica are going to talk to us about today. So I'm happy to introduce Basil Hewitt and Erica Bench for the LA County Sanitation District, who will kind of walk us through the wastewater treatment process and some interesting science that I think some will find informative. And with that, Basil.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Good morning, everyone. And thank you for this opportunity. And my standing rule is that if there's any tough questions, you shoot them to Erica. So, but I'll try to be quick. And if you have any questions as we go along, jump in if you'd like. I'll try to share my screen right now. And we also have Wendy Wirt with us from the Sanitation District that brokered this presentation. All right. Let me attempt to share my screen. Can we all see that?
Yes.
All right, perfect. Let me hide that. All right. So usually we start out with, you know, a lot of folks aren't aware of who the sanitation districts are. We're that agency, that big agency that most people aren't aware of. We were formed in 1923. This is a shot of the South Bay back in the 20s when raw sewage was going into it. So we were formed to help alleviate that problem. When we were formed in 1923 at the passage of the Sanitation Districts Act, about 5 years later, our first treatment plant came online. And this is the Joint Water Water Pollution Control Plant. And this is our original treatment plant, southern part of the county. It made sense because water tend to flow there. So it was our first treatment plant. When that plant was built, all the water that was cleaned through that plant went through two tunnels that were built in 37 and 58. And those tunnels, we're now embarking on a project to build a replacement or a new tunnel that we call the Clearwater Project. And here, those tunnels feed into four ocean outfalls that were built between 37 and 65. And they're about a mile and a half offshore, and they discharge about 200 feet of water, a depth of 200 feet. So we've grown from this little district that started in the South Bay to now where we serve 5.6 million people, about more than half of LA County. We're 24 separate sanitation districts that are brought together as Los Angeles County Sanitation District. And so in the outlined areas, you can see our various sanitation districts. We go as far north as Lancaster, Palmdale, as far south as Long Beach. And you can see the Joint Water Pollution Control Plant here. This is the plant that we see as our last untapped source of recycled water. That plant historically has gotten water that's typically too salty for reuse. But nonetheless, over the years, our previous leaders and the folks that worked at the sanitation district recognized we're in a semi-arid area. So over the years, starting in the 60s, 1949, they wrote a plan about talking about water reclamation plants, upstream water reclamation plants. And out of that plant came our first upstream water reclamation plant, this Whittier Narrows plant. And it's one of our two plants that supplies water to Upper San Gabriel Valley District. And we now have 10 upstream water reclamation plants. They produce tertiary effluent that essentially meets drinking water standards, and it's right in the community, and we try to reuse it. And most of those, the water from those 10 upstream plants, pretty much spoken for. And you see the 11 wastewater treatment plants, the PIN identifying those. Every day we treat about 400 million gallons of sewage with these 11 wastewater treatment plants. I want to talk quickly about how the sewage gets to one of these 11 plants. When sewage leaves your home or business, it leaves a lateral, and then it goes into a local line that's either owned by your city, or if it's in an unincorporated area, by the county. And then from there, it feeds into trunk sewers that we construct, we maintain, and they feed into our treatment plant. And just to give you a visual and how big a trunk sewer is, here's one of the trunk sewers going in a couple of years ago. We have about 1,400 miles of these trunk sewers. And today I'm going to focus on San Jose Creek, kind of give you a virtual tour of San Jose Creek, because it's one of the two treatment plants that produces clean, recycled water for your organization. This is San Jose Creek East. San Jose Creek, it's an east side that was built in 1971, and then there's a west side that was built 20 years later. It's right at the interchange of the 605 and 60 freeway. Our main office, once we get out of the pandemic, we'd love to have you over, drive over, give you a walking tour. Our main office is right here off Workman Mill Road, and these treatment plants are right behind our main office. And right now, the treatment plant combined is treating about 60 million, between 50 and 60 million gallons per day of sewage. So let's take a close-up look at San Jose Creek. I just want to give you kind of like the feel. So here's the back of our main office. We typically walk down here. And then where my cursor's at is where our control building's at. We have a lab back where various labs here, biology lab, microbiology lab, chemistry lab, collecting samples of wastewater coming in, analyzing what's occurring in the plant, analyzing the clean water leaving the plant, and doing a battery of tests and so on. And even recently, we started, when the pandemic started, our lab developed a method for sampling for COVID in the tributary area to our treatment plant. But let's get on to this treatment plant. San Jose Creek East is a tertiary treatment plant. The first step, primary, is just wastewater coming in. We slow it down for about 2 hours and let gravity do its thing. The heavy stuff settles out and the stuff that's on top is skimmed out. Then the wastewater that leaves those primary tanks goes into what we call secondary treatment. And it's basically a biological process. This is where microorganisms eat that organic material that wouldn't settle out in primary. And then they settle out. They stick together a flock and they settle out. And then the water from that step goes into tertiary. And when you think tertiary, just think disinfection and filtration. So we have a number of filters there, and then we disinfect. So I want to give you a ground level shot of our San Jose Creek plant. So wastewater comes in at our influent pump building, pump station, a pump building right here. And it's usually about 30 feet below the ground because our trunk sewers are at an angle because we want a gravity flow to the treatment plant as much as possible because it saves us money. Once it comes into the influent pump building, and one of the beautiful things about virtual tours, you get to see what the inside of that pump building looks like. We have a number of pumps that bring the water up to the ground surface. And then here's a drone shot. So here is the influent pump building. Then here are the primary tanks. They're all covered. They're about 12 feet deep, and water goes into those tanks. They're covered to keep the odor in, because just imagine the smell of bathroom of a million people. So we have it completely covered. It's under a slight vacuum. But we got to give you that visceral feel. What does it look like? These are actual shots from lifting the lid of these covers. And I'm sorry to do this so early in the morning. But this is what we see in the primary tank. And then quickly, what occurs in these primary tanks? What you see here are these flights. What they're doing, these boards are the stuff that's settled out are being pushed into openings in the bottom of the tank. And then these chains come around and the stuff that's floating on top is skimmed off. This takes about two hours. And just by doing this, we remove about 60% of the impurities in wastewater. From there, the wastewater that's left over has material that's colloidal in nature, but organic. So it's food. We put them in these aerated tanks. This is your secondary treatment. You can see these bubbling tanks. What's happening is at the bottom, we have ceramic bubbling air through, and it's allowing us to support trillions and trillions of microorganisms that now eat that organic material, multiply, stick together, a flock, and then they settle out. So I got to give you a little schematic of it. I always tell people this is like our own personal fish tank. You can see these microorganisms being put in here. And what we're doing is by aerating it, we can support so many more microorganisms and they need so much more food. So we grow these trillions of microorganisms. Here's a shot of a nematode we found in the tank. And then our lab analyzes the wastewater at different spots and make sure our microorganisms, we have a proper spectrum of these microorganisms, so they're eating the different organic material in there, and then they settle out. So after we fed them, and let me back up, in the primary treatment we're about 2 hours, in the secondary treatment we're about 4 to 6 hours, an additional 4 to 6 hours. And these are called secondary clarifier, drone shot. The water after the bubbling tanks, or we also do what we call NDN nitrification, denitrification. Patient after it's gone through all that, then we go to these clarifiers, which are basically settling out these microorganisms that you could barely make out in this shot. They slowly settle out and we skim the water off the top, what we call weirs. And I want to just kind of digress right here. One of the neat things about what the sanitation district does is economy of scale. So you're looking at, so we have 24 sanitation districts, but 17 of them are interconnected in what we call the joint outfall system that you see highlighted here. And this area serves about 5 million people, 73 of the 78 cities we serve. And we have seven of our wastewater treatment plants. So we have La Cañada here, we have Pomona here, San Jose Creek, Whittier Narrows. All these treatment plants are interconnected with the joint plant or JWPCP. And via these trunk sewers. So all the stuff that we settle out and all these upstream water reclamation plant, we drop them back into the sewer, and then it gets a ride all the way down to the joint plant with water that's typically too salty for reuse. And that's where the John Benarski partnership or METS partnership with the sanitation district comes in. The salty water at the joint plant, we have a demonstration facility that John probably talked about last month, where we're talking about, we're looking to see if we can cost effectively remove the salt and purify that water. But we drop all the solids in back into the sewer and all the solids go there. So instead of having solids processing at seven different locations, we just have it at one location. They get settled out there. The solids that were taken out of wastewater treatment, the extra microorganisms we didn't want, we put them in what we call anaerobic digesters. We have about 24 of them at the joint plant. The wastewater solids are in there for about 15 days. It's set up just like our gut, our stomach. It's anaerobic. So these microorganisms that live in an oxygen-free environment, they eat this organic material. They reduce it. They kill pathogens. They generate biogas, which is mainly methane and CO2. Here's a shot of some of the digesters. They're about 50 feet in height. This is about 20 feet above ground, typically, and another 30 feet below ground. And to give you an idea how big these digesters are, here's a 6-foot board in here, and you can see how huge this digester is. This is a shot taken from when they were doing periodic clean out of these digesters. Well, that biogas that's produced, we have a power plant on site that we call the Total Energy Facility. It's been in operation since the 80s. What it does It takes that biogas and it produces about 20 megawatts of electricity that basically runs the plant. The plant, the Joint Water Pollution Control Plant, is essentially energy self-sufficient based on the power produced from this biogas. Then the stuff that's left over from the digester, it's about 98% water. We're going to truck it off site, but we want to dewater it. We use these centrifuges that spin the stuff, take the water concentration from 98% to about 70%. Then we get this thing we call biosolids cake, because to us it looks like crumble chocolate cake. We produce this every day. We truck it off. We have about 50 trucks a day. And the trucks go to various sites. We have about 5 or 6 sites where most of the biosolids we take off site, we compost it with ag waste. And consistent with our, you know, we were created to protect public health and the environment. But over the years, our mantra has been converting waste into resources, whether it be recycled water or the biosolids. So we compost it with ag waste and we sell it or utilize it as a soil amendment. So now back to San Jose Creek. So we went through primary, secondary, tertiary, just filtration and disinfection. Here's a drone shot of one of our 20 filters at San Jose Creek East. Here's the filter when dewatered. And the filter, the water that left secondary comes through the top. It goes through anthracite coal, sand, and gravel. It goes through pretty quickly. And then that water goes to chlorine contact tank, and that stays about an hour and a half to 2 hours. And that's where we use sodium hypochlorite to disinfect. If that water is going to go out into a river, we'll dechlorinate with sodium bisulfite. And in 10 hours, we went from raw sewage to what you have, beautiful, clean, recycled water. Most of our recycled water is used for groundwater recharge, over 50%. Here's an aerial shot of the spreading basins near Pico Rivera. As you go south on the 605 freeway, you'll see these spreading basins. We've been recharging the aquifer there in conjunction with WRD Public Works since 62. Since 62, we've recycled over 1 trillion gallons of water. We have over 950 reuse sites. And again, I cannot emphasize enough, those 10 upstream water reclamation plants are pretty much tapped out, but our folks are always looking for ways of eking out even more reuse out of it. So a couple of years ago at San Jose Creek West, we built a flow equalization tank. On the left are shots showing when these tanks were being built. They're underground. It's about 8 million gallons of store capacity. What we're doing there is when the wastewater peaks are shaved off. Usually we get the peaks like this point at this time of the day, but the demand may be high like after midnight. So what we do is we take the wastewater as it leaves primary treatment and shave off the peak. We store it in these tanks and then we pump out the plant later in the evening and finish the treatment process. And so we can eke out a little bit more water for the folks that need that, or that recycled water and need that water. And then it gets to Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District. So we talked about not over 950 sites. Well, Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District has about 60 of those sites. We have 3 extensions that feed off 2 of our treatment plants. San Jose Creek, we have one, what we call this, I think this is the phase 1 extension. We have about 3 sites here, the big one being Rio Hondo College that you can see here, Rio Hondo College, and a couple other sites. Another extension off San Jose Creek, we have about 27 sites on this map, and this comes from our Erica's group produces what we call an annual recycled water status report. It's a great encyclopedia of all things recycled water that we do. And these maps come from that report. And the site I want to point out here is South Hills Country Club. And then from Whittier Narrows, we have about 32 sites. And the site I want to just highlight. So all these numbered locations are sites that our recycled water goes through your system. Whittier Narrows, that's been around. It's, you know, it's the first site, the first upstream treatment plant that we started purposely recycling water with. And so that kind of gives you an overview of what we do in terms of delivering water to Upper San Gabriel. And to finish up the San Jose Creek story, if recycled water, I mean, most of that water is recycled, but let's say it's raining, it's been raining 4 or 5 days or a couple of days in a row, and some of our sites can't take the water, we will discharge it right to San Jose Creek. Right across on this aerial, you'll see the golf course, and historically that's taken water. But if they can't take water, we just discharge it right into the local habitat, the local river or creek. That's all I got. With that, I will stop sharing. Let me see if I can get back to, if I can, oh, there you go. Thank you. So that's it. Hopefully that wasn't too much and it was informative.
Jennifer, can I ask a question?
Of course.
Thank you. Mr. Hewitt, you mentioned at the beginning the two lines, I think you said were built around 1937, were being some infrastructure projects going on with those. How is the infrastructure on all of the facilities? Or do you see any need for further projects that need to be completed?
I mean, you know, we do facility plans on a periodic basis, and we look at we look at population growth in terms of, do we have enough sewers or treatment capacity? We also look at our infrastructure to see what needs to be updated. I mean, the big one that comes to mind, because I'm very involved with it, is the new tunnel we're building that we call the Clearwater Tunnel. And we started that, we completed that facility plan like 6 or 7 years ago. But there's always, I mean, even at San Jose Creek, and Erica can speak more to it, you know, that plant was built in 71, before the pandemic, there was always construction there because there are different pumps and different lines that had to be updated or fixed. I mean, you know, what is that, almost 50 years ago? I mean, what car drives for 50 years? I had a car for 25 years, and I try to stretch infrastructure. But so we are always, our sewers, we're inspecting them, and if we see their issues, we do upgrades. So I don't know. I haven't been back to San Jose Creek lately, Erica, but are there additional upgrades going on back there?
Yeah, we're working on power upgrades. And then, you know, a major component of the facility is aeration to feed those bugs. And so we're trying to upgrade the process air compressors that feed the oxygen to those to that plant. But yeah, there's we have a whole system of asset management and trying to understand when, you know, the life cycle of our equipment, and then within our sewers too, you know, they have a whole system of how to inspect it and prioritize when sewers need to be either rehabbed or, you know, or fixed in some way.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you.
All right. Do we have any other questions, comments from directors?
Director Santana, if I may.
Yes.
Hi. I just wanted to say you did a great job. I do this for a living, explaining how sanitation works. And so I just wanted to commend you on a great presentation. I also think it's important that you pointed out how there's very little waste at every single part of this process. And I think it's quite beautiful that at any opportunity, we're trying to eke out, in your words, eke out as much sustainability, like in terms of the process as we can, where we get as much water as we can, we reuse that gas. I think it is goes to show that we are focused on making sure that we can incorporate as much sustainable process as we can. So thank you for pointing that out, because I think everybody needs to know how that happens and where it all goes. Thank you.
Thank you. And Erica's group, that I think you call yourself Reuse and Compliance, they're the ones that always like tell us, can we reuse this? And you notice I'm always, behind me, I have our tagline, converting waste to resource. But yeah, yeah, we're always looking. And that's why the project with Metropolitan is so important to all of us. When you look at our 11 wastewater treatment plant, the last untapped source is that joint plant. And the bigger, the challenge over the years has been just that it has a high concentration of industry. So the water tends to be saltier. And I think, you know, Erica's group and Martha's group and MWD, they think they've got a path forward to do this cost effectively and get that water back into our community.
Madam Chair, if I may make a comment.
Yes, please.
I just want to thank Basil and Erica. This is a great presentation, very informative. In layman's terms, exactly what's going on. And again, it just points to the fact that we're trying to maximize local resources and not depend so much on imported water because it's so unpredictable. So I think this is great, great presentation. And I want to thank you for, Madam Chair, for bringing this to us. So thank you again. I learned something, you know, I learned something about the County Sanitation District. So thank you.
You're welcome. Our pleasure.
All right. Thank you very much. And Basil, wow, this was incredible. So this is such an important process. Oh, Steve Johnson, did you have something?
Yeah, before they leave, maybe at the end.
I was just going to ask a quick question. So this process is so vital, and it can't really break down. You can't have it stop running for a little bit. So what are your emergency plans, or what are some concerns that you might have? Is there anything that you're taking extra care for to make sure that we don't have a problem during an emergency?
I mean, I guess I'll start and Erica will get into the nitty gritty. I mean, part of the beauty of the joint outfall system is those seven treatment plants I showed you in that early schematic are interconnected. So let's say we had to, let's start on the treatment plant level. Most of those tanks, instead of having one big secondary tank, we have multiple smaller tanks so we can always take a tank out of service to repair because the sewage is always going to come. But let's say something crazy happens where you can't use one of those treatment plants upstream. You could shunt the flow through the trunk sewers down to the joint plant. So there's redundancies built into the treatment plant, but then there's redundancies built into the whole joint outfall system. So let's say, I don't know, Martian's attack. I just want to do something crazy. And San Jose Creek is out of service. You can still get, if the trunk sewers are in place, the water can go all the way down to Carson and be treated. And that's why the Clearwater Project is so important to us, because when we analyzed our infrastructure and we saw it was aging, one of the points that kept us up at night is that we had those two tunnels that always have flow in it. And then, you know, and I get myself in trouble by being too honest sometimes. When the idea of building a third tunnel came up, I wasn't on board with it. I'm like, hey, we got two, you know, if the car ain't broke. But since we've seen such heavy rain events, it's like we've come within inches of flooding out the joint plant. Like in 1995, it first occurred. And I'm like, it ain't gonna happen again. Then it happened in 2017. I'm like, oh, I'm a true believer now. So that's why I think the biggest point of weakness is that those two ocean outfalls. Because even if you, wherever you live in that joint outfall system, some of your wastewater go either the solids or your wastewater winds up in Carson. So if Carson has a problem, we all have a problem in this area. If that answers your question.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I love the redundancy. Yes, we're a big fan of redundancy in my laboratory too.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, Steve Johnson, did you have something to mention?
Yeah. Thank you, Madam President. Vice President, I guess. thank you guys, Basil and Erica, Wendy, great presentation. You guys, that presentation should be on PBS or something because, from start to finish, it tells people what's going on. And I'll guarantee you, 80-90% of the people out there don't know what you guys do and how it works, especially with the full use and with the self-sustaining energy. It's amazing stuff, and the public needs to know how hard you guys are working at this. So that's great. I just wanted to mention a little bit of history for Director Santana, Director Garcia, for the district, just while we're here with the Sand District, because I've been here a long time, but I intend to stay around until we get the Carson, until we cut the ribbon on the Carson project and we get recycled water. We get water in our spreading grounds. So that's a huge project, and it's a great partnership. But just a little bit of history. I mean, the Upper District's been working on recycled water, primarily from the San Jose Creek plant, for at least 25, maybe 30 years. And we've started and stopped multiple projects for various reasons. We had toilet to tap. We had clowns come into meetings, real clowns, not people who are clowns when they talk, real dressed up clowns. So we had it all trying to build a project. And I mean, it started and stopped multiple times. And probably maybe 10 years ago, we had a real project going. We thought we were going to go. It was a joint project with the Central Basin, the lower area folks. And then we split off working on our own project. This district worked very hard. We spent a lot of time permitting. We got some of the permits. We got environmental documents done. We got right-of-way work done. We got a pipeline preliminary design. I mean, a lot of work was done by this district on that project. And we were being warned by you guys, so it's not something new. But as we got toward the end, the word came down that there's no water for your project. it was an eye opener. It was awakening, and so people were pretty upset about the fact that we really wanted this water, and it's good. But one of the moments that are in a career that are really really important moments was the realization of our team up in the upper area, the team that wanted to build this project. The realization was, you know what? You need to step back and realize this is a success project. This isn't a problem for us up here. It's a success project for recycled water throughout Southern California. So we need to step back and realize that it's an amazing feat to be able to get full use like that and create a successful project. And so we move on. And now we're looking at Carson, and we're not going to miss Carson. So we're in. Anyway, I just want to make sure everybody knew the long history and the fact that you guys have done such a great job. We basically ran out of water on the last project to build a smaller project into our basin. So that was it. Thanks.
Very good point.
And Director Santana, if I could just add on to Steve's comments.
Yes, please.
So Steve talked about the success of the recycled water use. Essentially, the flow of the resource there is pretty much 100% utilized, beneficial use. But another reason why there is not sufficient water for a larger project out of San Jose Creek is the wastewater flows going into that plant have declined 40% over the last 20 years. Now, part of that may have been due to the economic downturn of 2008. But most of it is due to the indoor water conservation efforts that we've been promoting. And so that just adds to the success. We've been so successful on conservation and recycling that resource that we've achieved success at those two plants, Whittier Narrows and San Jose Creek. So I think we need to talk about the success as opposed to, oh, no, we don't have enough water from the plant, because it's a really good accomplishment for everyone involved.
Yeah, and I'll give you a when I started, we used to work in our facility planning group, and we used to use a number of 100 gallons per person per day in terms of wastewater generated. Now that number has dropped down to 80, 60, 70. I'm not in the planning group anymore, but that's indicative of what Tom was talking about. And that's why the flows are going down to a certain degree.
Very interesting. All right. Any more questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, thank you so much, Erica and Basil and Wendy, for helping with this presentation. I agree with Steve Johnson, this should be on PBS. It was really something. Really enjoyed that. So thanks a lot, and hope to see you soon.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Excellent. Okay. That was item 8A. Okay, we are moving on to Item 8B, adoption of resolution 821-624, activating level 2 of the water shortage contingency plan. And there is a staff memo enclosed in the packet. Do we have any comments from directors?
No, this, Jennifer, this took, we took action. It met last week to declare this level 2 water shortage contingency. And it was right after that, after the state, we were told that there the shortages in the, for the first time, we have shortages in the Colorado River. And so Met thought they should act on this. And it's getting very serious. And we, I'll make a motion to approve this resolution.
Second from Trevino.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Yes, I think this is moving in the right direction. So with that, we'll go ahead and take a vote. Vanessa?
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye. All right, great. So that passes 4-0. So therefore, we will adopt that resolution. And now moving on to information items. We have press releases and news articles in the packet that we can read, as Ed would say, at our leisure. Moving on to 10, attorney's report.
Good afternoon, directors. We have just a short update regarding transactional matters. We consulted with staff regarding an outreach matter, and that's all I have for my attorney's report.
Okay, thank you, Chelsea. Moving on to engineer's report.
Steve, you're muted.
Sorry, I'm on mute. Thank you, Madam Vice President. A short report at end of the month. As of August 20th, the key well elevation was 188.0, so right at 188. Historic low, I'll remind everybody, was 169.4 back in late November of 2018. An interesting, I try to make these as interesting as I can. We now have about 170,000 acre feet in cyclic storage right now, total from all the cyclic storage accounts, which represents about 21 feet. Well, if you take 21 feet away from our current elevation of 188, that puts us below historic long-term average of the basin. So it tells you the hard work that's been done between the water master, the water and municipal water districts, including upper district, to get this imported water in the basin and hold the basin up so that it's a reliable supply for the groundwater pumpers, extremely important. We would now be about 167 feet if it weren't for the imported water. So very, very important. Up in the canyon, very, very dry. Inflow to San Gabriel's well under 10 CFS. It's between 5 and 7 CFS. So it's very, very dry up in the canyon. Storage is a little over 10,000 acre feet. So we're at minimum pool. There's really essentially no water. About 13% of capacity in the canyon. So I try to look on the right side of these things too. If it does rain, we have plenty of room to store water in the canyon because all the water levels are down. So we've got space for water if it comes. No imported water deliveries. We've already reported rainfall through the fiscal year, which was ended in June. But I'll just remind everybody, last year was around 34 to 38% of long-term average. Which is pretty darn low. With that, the runoff that we get from rainfall was even worse because it's so dry. When it did rain, it soaked up. So runoff from the local rainfall that we got was down around less than 25% of long-term average. So we are really hurting for a local water supply. And that's the reason why we created, the basin created the resource development assessment to buy water to supplement the lack of local water. So hopefully we'll go back into a wet period and pick that back up. Water quality, real quick, Title 22, during July, 57 wells were sampled under the Title 22 program in the basin. During June, just 17 wells on different cycles of sampling were sampled. And we did not receive, Stetson did not receive any notices, new notices of wells shut down due to water quality in the basin. That's all I have. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from directors? Okay, seeing none, thank you very much, Steve. We'll move on to general manager's report.
Yeah, a couple of things to add to the written report, which you have in your package. So as Steve mentioned, there is no imported water being delivered to the basin at this time, but we are delivering water to the Azusa Surface Water Treatment Plant through the San Gabriel District Pipeline. We started that in July at about 20 acre feet a day. And then near the end of July, that flow was increased to about 30 acre feet a day. And we anticipate, based on what Azusa's told us, that will continue into September until the temperature drops and water demands decline. On staffing matters, as the directors, I'll remind the directors that Elena is retiring at the end of September. So we have gone through a recruitment process, have narrowed it down to a short list of candidates. They have been interviewed by management staff, and then I will conduct the final interviews of the shortlist candidates on Monday. So hopefully we'll have someone on board in early September so that we can begin that transition. And that's all I have for today.
Great. Thank you very much, Tom. Any questions for our general manager? Seeing none, we'll move on to director's comments, and we'll start with Director Fellow.
I have nothing today. Thank you, Madam Vice President.
Thank you. Okay. Moving on to Director Garcia.
I just want to thank you, Director Santana, for inviting the Sanitation District to come, because that's one of my favorite things to teach about, and you're right. Like, people should know about it. And I think it's a great opportunity for us as directors to hear and to like understand how that process impacts us and the decisions that we make, because it is important, and it's beautiful, frankly, about how all of these things can work together to provide water to people. So thank you for that. I thought it was wonderful.
Thank you. Excellent. Thanks so much. All right. Director Trevino.
I have nothing, Madam Chair.
All right. I do have a couple of comments. And let me see. So I'm going to give a couple updates on some of the other agencies that I sit on regarding the San Gabriel Valley Council of Governments. We had a board meeting, and I guess probably the most exciting thing is our own Becky Shevlin, who is from Monrovia, was selected to represent, and I wish I had the verbiage in front of me, but she's representing on the Homeless Committee all COGS, not just the San Gabriel Valley Council of Governments, but she's going to be representing all COGS on, I believe it's the supervisors created a task force for the homelessness, and they're expecting to make some big progress on this. So that was the big news for the San Gabriel Valley Council of Governments. We also had San Gabriel Valley Water Association meeting earlier this week and the LEDGE meeting. We will be meeting, they mentioned at the legislation meeting and also at the board meeting, we'll be meeting with some legislators August 31st and September 1st. I believe it's at 11:30, or maybe it's at 10 o'clock. I'll get back to you guys on that. They're asking for people to join in. We're going to be talking about the drought and fire resiliency funding letter. We are not, I believe, declared as a county for a state of emergency, but we need to make sure we secure some funds so that we can address our water supply. So the invitation was put out. I will be at the September 1st meeting for sure. If any directors are interested, then reach out to Adon or myself, and we can get some information on those meetings coming up next week. Also, during the San Gabriel Valley Water Association meeting, we did discuss the MWD RTS charge pass-through that we've been dealing with, that Tom's been dealing with the past several months, if not longer. And we did discuss rate structures that's been discussed with the producers. And there was a request to bring this item to the producer focus group before discussing with all of the producers. And it looked like we will be accommodating that. So That's all I have to report. And with that, we will move on to future agenda items. If there are none to add, then we will, item number 15, I do believe we have closed session today. We will adjourn to closed session. So that is a separate Zoom link. Is that correct?
Yeah. Director, you should have received that Zoom link, I believe, from Vanessa. The Zoom is being initiated on our legal counsel site. And so I will see you in closed session.
All right. I believe we are back. We have, I see Director Trevino, Fellow, and Garcia here. So I believe we can continue with the board meeting. Chelsea, did you want to give a brief update on what we discussed? Is she here?
She's there.
Chelsea, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. Do you want to give just a brief update on what we talked about in the closed session?
Yes. So the board met in closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957 for a performance review of the general manager. No reportable action was taken.
Great. Thank you so much. And with that, we will move on to item 16, adjournment. And we will see you all next time. Thank you for bearing with me as I led this one. And great seeing you all and great discussion. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Great job.
Okay.
Be safe, everybody.
Thank you, Madam Chair.